Support for this public radio podcast is provided by Cleveland Clinic, expanding globally and committed every day to providing innovative treatments and hope to patients worldwide. Online at clevelandclinic.org. And by Constellation Energy, a global provider of fuels, power, and energy services, committed to environmentally sound, energy-efficient, and sustainable energy solutions. Constellation Energy, the way energy works.
Shoot first, questions later.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The stock market is in no mood to be reasonable right now. Yesterday, rumors were flying that Merrill Lynch might have more subprime losses coming. Rumors, mind you. But Merrill's stock fell 11% on that speculation, and the shares of other brokerage companies tanked as well. Overall, Wall Street had big losses just one day after huge gains. The Dow dropped 293 points to 12,099. The NASDAQ fell 58 to 2209. And the S&P 500 lost 32 points. In Asia today, the markets are also back down. Hong Kong shares finished 3.5% lower. Tokyo had the day off. And today's the last day of trading for Wall Street this week. The markets close tomorrow for Good Friday. The collapse of Bear Stearns has people wondering if another bank is going down. This week, there's concern about some mid-sized banks like Washington Mutual or National City. They're heavily exposed to mortgages. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch has more.
Just how exposed is Washington Mutual? The Seattle-based bank has 71% of its loans in real estate. And National City, headquartered in Cleveland, has more than half its money in mortgages. Diane Swonk is chief economist at Mesirow Financial. She says many regional and mid-sized banks may be in peril.
Banks that are particularly heavily exposed to the California, Florida market, Arizona, Nevada, Michigan, Ohio. Those are the places that I have the most risk for mortgage defaults and mortgage failures.
The fear is that regional bank failures would have a domino effect on the entire financial system. But Swonk said the Federal Reserve's aggressive moves, from its bailout of Bear Stearns to its interest rate cuts, are calming nerves.
The Fed is really ready to step in and help these deals get done and make sure we don't get any more collateral damage, even from mid-tier banks going down.
I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Good old supply and demand. The last month, U.S. oil consumption has dropped more than 3% compared to a year ago. Demand for gasoline fell 1%. So what happens to the price of oil? It's down $10 this week to $102 a barrel this morning. Of course, gas prices are still high, which brings me to this. Winnebago reports its profits today. Last quarter's numbers were surprisingly good. But with gas prices and economic concerns, nobody's expecting too much this time around. Elisa Roth reports.
Sure, you save on food and lodging, but traveling in a motorhome isn't cheap. The rolling behemoths go for something like $250,000 a pop, and then there's the gas.
Well, I think I've seen the diesel at $3.95, you might as well say $4, and you put 96 gallons in there, you're right at $400.
Thomas McHaney is president of Gone with the Winnies of North Georgia, a group of Winnebago enthusiasts. He's been looking for ways to cut back on costs without giving up his RV completely. He's driving a lot less these days. Catherine Thompson is an analyst at Avondale Partners. She says owners are slowing down in other ways, too.
So instead of replacing it every, say, 2 to 4 years, they're pushing it out a little bit longer and, say, replacing it every 3 to 5 or maybe even 6 years.
She says RV sales began to sputter in late 2006, but she's convinced an industry that made it through the fuel shortages and high interest rates of the 70s can roll through this recession, too. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, working toward energy independence with 10 billion transit trips per year at publictransportation.org. By Grant Thornton, serving their audit, tax, and advisory clients worldwide with people who love what they do. Online at grantthornton.com. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More ThriveQ.com.
There are several ways to look at the Federal Reserve's action the past few days. You can say the Fed is just doing its job, trying to prevent an economic meltdown. You can call it a bailout of Wall Street. You could say the Fed is interfering with free markets that should sink or swim on their own. Time to visit with our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. Chris, how do you see it?
I went to the online to the office of the New York State Comptroller. They keep bonus figures for the New York securities firms, mm-hmm. Wall Street. And if you add up bonuses, 2002 through 2007, bonuses add up to $137 billion. Whew. Now, this is 2002 to 2007. This is the era of the private equity buccaneer, the hedge fund pirate. And now we're paying the bill.
But with the Fed stepping in here, how do we prevent this from happening again? Is there any lesson being learned?
Well, I think there are lessons being learned, and it's going to be a couple years while we try and figure it out. But the basic lesson, just make it really simple, we're going to re-regulate the industry. And here's one way to think about it. The Federal Reserve has now said that not only do we backstop the banking system, which has largely been, you know, part of the charter of the Federal Reserve, right? We're backstopping investment banks. That's a whole new ballgame. That's a whole new set of rules and regulations. Now, we're not going to do it right now because we're in the midst of the crisis. But over the coming years, yeah, we're going to re-regulate the industry.
But are we going to get the money back that we lost here?
No, we're not. It's what expression should we use? It's a sunk cost. But boy, we had to create a situation. Yeah, okay, I have no problem. You want to benefit on the upside? That's fine. But if that's going to happen, we have to create a situation where you lose on the downside. That's what's called capitalism. And so we're going to re-regulate this industry in order to create more balance.
I have to say I'm a tad skeptical based on our previous history of boom and bust.
I think your skepticism is warranted, but here's what I think is slightly different. Mm-hmm. This time the Fed has taken extraordinary actions. Extraordinary action. When times calm down, it's going to exact a price for that.
We'll see. All right, Chris Farrell, our economics correspondent. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Feel free to share your thoughts with us and with other listeners online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.